The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hello and welcome to Climate Crisis. We are lucky to live on a diverse and beautiful planet, and our future generations deserve the same. But climate change is jeopardizing our way of life and our planet's future. As a researcher, I am convinced that climate change is real and it is a major threat to life on our planet. Hello and welcome to Climate Crisis third episode. Today I will talk about how climate change is threatening the oceans, forests, the coral reefs. I will be concentrating on coral bleaching and ocean acidification in particular. To begin, it is critical to understand the distinction between coral reefs and corals. Corals are living animals, but coral reefs are the physical structure or ecosystem that has been produced over many generations by the secretions of coral polyps. Coral reefs are like ocean forest, and corals are like the trees. Coral reefs are one of the most biodiverse ecosystems on the planet, but they are being destroyed due to an increase in greenhouse gases in the atmosphere caused by humans burning fossil fuels for heat and energy, producing industrial products, raising livestock, fertilizing crops, and deforestation. Corals are bright and colorful due to zooxanthellae, a type of microscopic algae or plant. The zooxanthellae exist in a mutually beneficial or symbiotic relationship with the coral, with each helping the other to survive. Due to climate change, the world's oceans are warming, and when a coral is exposed to temperatures that are warmer than it is used to, it becomes stressed and expels the algae. The coral fades when the algae dies, giving it the appearance of being bleached and white. The difficulty is that those algae provide much of the food and nutrients that the corals require to survive. If the temperature remains high, the coral will not allow the algae to return and it will eventually die. Warmer temperatures are actually beneficial to the algae in one way. They make all of their photosynthesis apparatus run more efficiently, but the problem is that they run too fast and are unable to repair themselves, causing them to release compounds that are toxic to the corals, which leads the corals to expel them. Coral bleaching events are of concern because reefs rarely recover after corals die. Corals struggle to reproduce when there are few survivors. An entire reef ecosystem on which people and wildlife rely collapse. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, between 2014 and 2017, over 75% of the world's tropical coral reefs suffered heat stress severe enough to cause bleaching, and for 30% of the reefs, the heat stress was enough to kill the corals. One of the other threats facing the coral reefs today is ocean acidification, which is a major and a harmful consequence of excess carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. According to Ocean Portal, part of the Smithsonian Institution's Ocean Initiative, at least a quarter of the carbon dioxide emitted by burning coal, oil, and gas is dissolved in the ocean rather than remaining in the atmosphere. The ocean has absorbed around 525 billion tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere since the beginning of industrialization, with a current rate of around 22 million tons each day. Scientists first felt that the ocean absorbing carbon dioxide was beneficial since it reduces the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, resulting in less warming. But they soon realized that this slower warming came at the expense of changing the chemistry of the ocean. When carbon dioxide dissolves in salt water, the pH, which is a measure of how acidic or basic something is, drops. The pH scale ranges from 0 to 14, with 7 being neutral, less than 7 being acidic, and more than 7 being basic. Despite the vastness of the ocean, increasing carbon dioxide levels can have a huge influence. The Ocean Portal claims that ocean water has gotten 30% more acidic in the previous 200 years, which is faster than any other documented change in ocean chemistry in the last 50 million years. The ocean itself is not actually acidic in the sense of having a pH less than 7, and it won't become acidic even with all the carbon dioxide that is being dissolved. But the changes in the direction of increasing acidity are still dramatic. So far, according to the Ocean Portal, since the Industrial Revolution, the pH of the ocean has declined from 8.2 to 8.1, and it is anticipated to drop another 0.3 to 0.4 pH units by the end of the century. A drop in pH of 0.1 might not seem like a lot, but the pH scale, like the Richter scale for measuring earthquakes, is logarithmic. For example, pH of 2 is 10 times more acidic than pH of 3 and 100 times more acidic than pH of 4. If we continue to add carbon dioxide at current rates, seawater pH may drop another 120% by the end of this century. Many chemical processes, including those essential for life, are sensitive to small pH fluctuations. For example, in humans, the normal blood pH is between 7.35 and 7.45, and a drop of 0.2 to 0.3 can cause seizures, comas, and even death. Similarly, even a minor change in seawater pH can affect marine organisms by disturbing chemical communication, reproduction, and growth. It is important to understand the chemistry behind the pH getting lower in the ocean and how that affects coral reefs. When water and carbon dioxide come in contact, carbonic acid is formed. Like other acids, carbonic acid releases hydrogen ions into the water, making it more acidic. Acidity has a significant impact on the formation of cells and exoskeletons of marine organisms. Carbonate, a fundamental component of the calcium carbonate exoskeleton found in corals, is attracted to free hydrogen ions in the water. Carbonate prefers to bond with hydrogen rather than calcium when there are more hydrogen ions available. As a result, there are now more bicarbonate ions in the water than calcium carbonate. Corals' ability to form skeletons is severely reduced when calcium carbonate is not available. Acidification may inhibit coral growth by corroding or destroying pre-existing coral skeletons and reducing the growth of new ones, leaving weaker reefs subjected to erosion. This erosion is caused not only by animals that drill into or eat the coral, but also from storm waves. According to a new study, ocean conditions will be so acidic by 2080 that even healthy corals would be eroding faster than they can rebuild. Along with coral bleaching and ocean acidification, climate change poses a number of other dangers to coral reefs, including sea level rise, changes in tropical storm frequency and intensity, and changing ocean circulation patterns. According to an international report released by the International Coral Reef Initiative, a partnership of countries and organizations working to protect the world's coral reefs, the world lost about 14% of its coral reefs in the decade after 2009, primarily due to climate change. The 14% reduction is alarming, because despite covering only 0.1% of the ocean floor, coral reefs give enormous advantages. Coral reefs directly support about 500 million people globally, largely in poor nations, according to IUCN. It's not just that tens of thousands of reefs will be close to divers and photographers. Because reefs are home to more than a quarter of all marine fish species, when they are damaged, local fish species begin to dwindle and start to severely restrict fishing in the area, putting a pressure on already overpopulated developing countries. Reefs also provide a number of ecosystem services, including subsistence food, flood protection, and the continuation of the fishing and tourism industries. Their disappearance will have economic, social, and health consequences. According to the report by the International Climate Initiative, coral reefs support an estimated $2.7 trillion in products and services each year. The loss of so many coral reefs saddens me personally. Coral reefs, in my opinion, are one of the most spectacular ecosystems on the planet. Hundreds of billions of life forms can be found on a single coral reef. I have never been able to see coral reefs in person, but I have spent hours watching documentaries and studying and reading about them. And the amount of life in such a little space is astounding. It is unfortunate that so few people understand how delicate and important this ecosystem is to our planet. While the threat of coral reefs is a problem, there are also solutions. Addressing climate change and keeping a lower global average temperature gives coral reefs a chance to survive. Many techniques to aid corals are being tested by researchers and conservationists. Conservationists from Mote Marine Laboratory, a Florida-based independent nonprofit marine research organization, and other groups are taking matters into their own hands. The Mote Laboratory's reef restoration teams have planted about 70,000 pieces of coral from 5 different species off the Florida Keys during the last few years. The purpose of this project and others like it around the world is to provide enough young corals to allow them to reproduce naturally rather than replanting them completely. Artificial ocean-based nurseries are the starting point for Mote's coral rehabilitation. They hang fishing lines from buoys and attach plastic branches to make tree-like structures. Individual corals are then dangled from those branches. Divers slice out softball-sized portions when the danglers reach around the size of a basketball. The corals are then screened to ensure that some in each batch have the genes to withstand threats like infections, heat, and acidity. To replant them, the restoration crew finds a large coral head from which the creatures have vanished but left their limestone skeletons. Divers drill about 20 holes in the dead coral and poke in the stems of the coral tile flowers. In 2 or 3 years, the pieces grow together, resinking the dead coral and restoring it to spawning. Local pollution and damaging fishing practices can also be addressed to help safeguard coral reefs. Even though the ocean appears to be a long way from your home, there are things you can do in your daily life and at home to help slow coral bleaching and ocean acidification. The best thing you can do is try to reduce the amount of carbon dioxide you emit each day. Recycling, turning off unused lights, walking or biking short distances instead of driving, taking public transit, and supporting sustainable energy are all ways to lower your energy consumption at home. To maintain the overall health of coral reefs, we must ensure that we use less pesticides when gardening so that the runoff that enters the ocean does not harm the coral. Also, cleaning up beaches, eating sustainable seafood, and learning about reef etiquette and practicing it when we are in water are other ways to maintain the overall health of coral reefs. Finally, one of the most important things you can do to help protect our coral reefs is to tell your friends and family about the current concerns. Many people are still unaware that coral bleaching and ocean acidification are occurring. So have a conversation about it. Educate others about the impacts of climate change on the incredible coral reef ecosystems that offer food, income, and beauty to millions of people across the world. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of Climate Crisis. We will look at how climate change is causing glacier ice to melt, resulting in sea level rises, and the consequences for humans in the next episode.